Welcome to the Reality Revolution. I am your host, Brian Scott. So today I wanted to dedicate an episode to some of the things that Quo and Ra say about the sun. One of the things that fascinates me the most about the Law of One material is the discussion of the sun as the sublogos. And once I had read this material, it became so exciting, the idea that the sun is this living being and could be the Jehovah that we read of in the Bible, right? It could be the God that created this planet. When we're praying to a particular God, it's this sublogos. And then the idea of the sublogos, a portion of intelligent energy that's created in a specific area. And then you start to imagine all these other stars are aspects of the Creator. It's an amazing thought. And there's some interesting discussion of the sun. We know that Ra, in some circles, was looked back upon as a sun god. Perhaps that's from some myth that got interwoven with truths about Ra in Ra's discussion of the sublogos. But when you look up at the sun, you could be looking at the sun. Now, I don't recommend looking at the sun. There was an episode I had recently where Jesse Boudreau talked about sun gazing, and just, you know, do that. Be careful if it's done properly. But you know the sun's there when you feel it on your back. Is that actually God? If you knew God was a physical being that you could be closer to, then if we get closer to the sun, are we getting closer to God? The sun fascinates me. We know from the Walter Russell material about the secret of light, and you start to see that everything, all the matter around you, is made up of light, and the central source of light in the solar system is the sun. So everything that you see around you is the sun all around you. Or there's some interesting things that Quo and Ra say regarding this discussion. But it began in the Ra material. And if you read the 29th session, you get this beautiful discussion of this concept. It begins and they say, "I am Ra, I greet you in the love and light of the one infinite creator. I communicate now." Don Elkins, who's questioning, then asks, "Is our sun a sublogos or the physical manifestation of a sublogos?" Ra says this is correct. "Then I am assuming that this sublogos created this planetary system in all of its densities. Is this correct?" Ra says, "I am Ra. This is incorrect. The sublogos of your solar entity differentiated some experiential components within the patterns of intelligent energy set in motion by the logos, which created the basic conditions and vibratory rates consistent throughout your, what you have called, major galaxy. Then is this sublogos, which is our sun, the same sublogos, just manifesting in different parts throughout the galaxy, or is it all the stars in the galaxy? What I'm saying is there are roughly 250 billion stars somewhat like ours in this major galaxy. Are they all part of the same sublogos?" Ra says, "They are all part of the same logos. Your solar system, as you would call it, is a manifestation somewhat and slightly different due to the presence of a sublogos." Let me be sure I'm right then. Our sun is a sublogos of the logos of the major galaxy. This is correct. Are there any sub-sub-logi that are found in our planetary system that are sub to our sun? This is correct. Would you give me an example of what I will call a sub-sub-logos? One example, Ra says, is your mind-body-spirit complex. They ask, "Then every entity that exists would be some type of sub or sub-sub-logos. Is that correct?" "This is correct down to the limits of any observation, for the entire creation is alive." "Then the planet which we walk upon here would be some form of sub-sub-logos. Is that correct?" "A planetary entity is so named only as logos if it is working in harmonic fashion with entities or mind-body complexes upon its surface or within its electromagnetic field." "Do the sub-logi, such as our sun, have a metaphysical polarity, positive or negative, as we have been using the term?" Ra says, "As you use the term, this is not so. Entities, through the level of planetary, have the strength of intelligent infinity through the use of free will. Going through the actions of beingness, the polarity is not thusly as you understand polarity. It is only when the planetary sphere begins harmonically interacting with mind-body complexes, and more especially mind-body-spirit complexes, that planetary spheres take on distortion due to the thought complexes of entities interacting with planetary entity. The creation of the one infinite creator does not have the polarity you speak of. Thank you. Yesterday you stated that planets in first density are in a timeless state to begin with. Can you tell me how the effect that we appreciate as time comes into being? Ra says, we have just described to you the state of beingness of each logos, the process by which space-time comes into continuum form, is a function of the careful building, shall we say, of an entire or whole plan of vibratory rates, densities, and potentials. When this plan has coalesced in the thought complexes of love, then the physical manifestations begin to appear. This first manifestation stage being awareness or consciousness. At the point at which this coalescence is at the livingness or beingness point, the point or fountainhead of beginning, space-time then begins to unroll its scroll of livingness. Question. I believe that love creates the vibration in space-time in order to form the photon. Is this correct? This is essentially correct, Ross says. Then, the continued application of love, I will assume, that this is directed by a sublogos or a sub-sublogos, creates rotations of these vibrations, which are in discrete units of angular velocity. This then creates chemical elements in our physical illusion, and I will assume the elements in the non-physical or other densities in the illusion. Is this correct? Ra says, the logos creates all densities. Your question was unclear. However, we shall state the logos does create both the space-time densities and the accompanying time-space densities. What I'm assuming is that quantized incremental rotations of the vibrations show up as material of these densities. Is this correct? This is essentially correct, Ross says. Then because of these rotations, there is an inward motion of these particles which is opposite the direction of space-time progression, as I understand it. And this inward progression then is seen by us as what we call gravity. Is this correct? Ross says this is incorrect. Can you tell me how the gravity comes about? This that you speak of as gravity, Ross says, may be seen as the pressing towards the inner light, love, the seeking towards the spiral line of light which progresses towards the Creator. This is a manifestation of a spiritual event, of a condition of livingness. The gravity that we know of on our moon is less than it is on our planet. Is there a metaphysical principle behind this that you could explain? The metaphysical and physical are inseparable. Thus, that of which you spoke, which attempts to explain this phenomenon, is able to, shall we say, calculate the gravitational force of most objects due to the various physical aspects, such as what you know as mass. However, we felt it was necessary to indicate the corresponding and equally important metaphysical nature of gravity. I sometimes have difficulty in getting a foothold into what I'm looking for, Don says. I'm trying to seek out the metaphysical principles, you might say, behind our physical illusion. Could you give me an example of the amount of gravity in the third density conditions at the surface of the planet Venus? Would it be greater or less than Earth's? Ra says, the gravity, shall we say, the attractive force, which we also describe as the pressing outward force towards the Creator, is greater spiritually upon the entity you call Venus due to the greater degree of success, shall we say, at seeking the Creator. This point only becomes important when you consider that when all of creation in its infinity has reached a spiritual gravitational mass of sufficient nature, the entire creation infinitely coalesces the light seeking and finding its source and thusly ending the creation and beginning a new creation, much as you consider the black hole, as you call it, with its conditions of infinitely great mass at the zero point from which no light may be seen as it has been absorbed. Question: then the black hole would be a point at which the environmental material has succeeded in uniting with unity or with the Creator. Is this correct? Ross says, the black hole which manifests third density is the physical complex manifestation of this spiritual or metaphysical state. This is correct. Then, our planet is fully into fourth density. Will there be a greater gravity? Ross says, there will be a greater spiritual gravity, thus causing a denser illusion. Question: this denser illusion, then I would assume, increases gravitational acceleration above the 32 feet per second squared that we experience. Is this correct? Your entities do not have the instrumentation to measure spiritual gravity, but only to observe a few of its extreme manifestations. This I know, that we can't measure spiritual gravity, but I was just wondering if the physical effect could be measured as an increase in the gravitational constant. That was my question. The increase measurable by existing instrumentation would and will be statistical in nature only and not significant, Ross says. Okay, as the creation is formed, as the atoms form, as rotations of the vibrations, which is light, they coalesce in a certain manner sometimes. They produce a lattice structure, which we call crystalline. I'm guessing that because of the formation from intelligent energy of the precise crystalline structure that is possible by some technique to tap intelligent energy and bring it into physical illusion by working through the crystalline structure. Is this correct? This is correct only insofar as the crystalline physical structure is charged by a correspondingly crystallized or regularized balanced mind-body-spirit complex. At a gathering in Mackinac Island, Kuo was channeled in 2007 for a special meditation, and the group asked Kuo, in light of the theme about our sun that has developed this weekend, we would like to know what our relationship is with our sun and how we as human beings on planet Earth may commune on a deeper level with our sun. Carla channeling says, we are those known to you as the principle of Kuo, greetings in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator, in whose service we come to you this day. May we thank you with all our hearts for the privilege of being called to your circle of seeking and of being able to experience the beauty of each of your auras and your combined auras, which make this place a beautiful temple of light. It is a privilege and a pleasure to be with you and to be able to offer our humble service to you, the sharing of information that you might find useful. Please know that we are not authorities over you, but fellow seekers who walk the path to our source and our ending. Take these words, therefore, not as things that you must hear or things that you must follow, but rather use your discrimination and take from what we have to say only those things that resonate with you. Leave the rest behind without a second thought. In this way, we will feel free to offer our opinions without being concerned that we might interfere with your free will or skew and distort your process of seeking. You wish at this time to know more about your relationships with your sun body and how you can commune with that sun body. We are most pleased to share our thoughts on this subject. The one known as William noted the pun between sun, S-U-N, and sun, S-O-N. And we say to you that you are sons and daughters of the sun, just as the sun itself is the son and daughter of the one great original thought, that logos which is unconditional love. The logos is a distortion of the law of one. The only thing that is not distorted in our understanding is a mystery. That mystery is the one infinite creator. Beyond all potentiation, beyond all understanding, all there is resides forever in that one original creator, which is that from which all has sprung and to which all shall return. The first distortion of the one infinite creator is free will. And the play of free will across the mystery of the creator created the desire for the creator to know itself. And this desire was embodied, if you will, in the one great original thought, which is the second distortion of the law of one, and that unconditional love, which is the very nature of the infinite creator, birthed the mechanism and the way of manifestation of all illusion. For you see, all except the mystery is some kind of illusion. So all of that which seems real is the illusion, and that which is the mystery is that which is real. You come, therefore, into the land of paradox and mystery, and then you know you are on the right track. The third distortion of the Law of One is light. And light, in all of its gradations of circulation or rotation, has created all the orders of all the vibrations of all that is seen and unseen from your point of view. This Logos, manifesting through light, created out of itself the suns in their galaxies. And each sun is a sub-Logos, an undistorted portion of the one infinite creator. Yet each Logos was given the ability to make the tailoring details of its sub-creation of the one infinite Father. Therefore, your Logos has created for you a certain kind of environment for the growth of your spirit and the collection of information to be offered again to the one infinite creator, that it may know more about itself. It is well to note that this is a scheme in which all of your feelings, be they seemingly positive or seemingly negative, are equally valuable and precious to the one infinite creator. Therefore, you are loved beyond all belief by an entity who could never judge you, but only support, encourage, and embrace you. The Logos of your Son, then, has further manifested in its creation the particles of the One, for each of you is a spark of the One Creator, and each of you has in every cell of your body the undistorted mystery of the One. Your wisdom lies deep within you. You do not have to reach for it. It will come into your consciousness as you are ready and as you ask. It helps a great deal in this process if you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, again, as the one known as William has said, that you are in your integrity and can rest in your rightness to ask. All are worthy to ask and be answered. Therefore, each of you is a piece of the One, sons and daughters and heirs of love, creatures of love. You came into this particular illusion having created for yourself, with the aid of your guidance system, your gifts, your challenges, and your relationships. You and your guidance together have planned the direction of your mission, both in terms of the mission of your being and the mission of your doing. In terms of the mission of your doing, you have only to consult your gifts, or what this instrument would call your skill set. Each of you has a cluster of gifts in a particular area. It may seem to be very humble and practical and down to earth. It may be mystical. It may be aesthetic. It may be creative. It may be as simple as the creation of a family. The creation of anything that can be created in this universe is equally worthy if it be created with love. As this instrument was saying earlier to the one known as Jay, you are never to be identified with that which you do. Rather, you are love, and you happen to be expressing or manifesting in the outer world with a particular kind of service for which, happily, you receive pay and with which you pay your bills. Likewise, you cannot be contained by others' opinions, by the opinions of your culture, or by any other limitations whatever, for you are love and light. You are all there is, and you are the sun of your creation. But let us expand upon this for a moment. It may seem that you are quite a small part of a large universe, very large universe, and in the outer world this is certainly so. As the one known as Dawn has often said, you are sticking up from the surface of the planet like a hair on a head, with your heads reaching towards the stars and your feet planting toward the womb of the earth. You circle a very insignificant looking sun in terms of the brightness and size at the outer part of a very small, an undistinguishable looking galaxy that is part of billions and billions of other galaxies. In that scale of things, you are indeed small. Yet, in the inner or metaphysical sense, you are the sun of your inner universe. You've created that universe, and you can recreate it at any time. That which you judge remains judged. That which you love remains loved in every thought, in every circumstance. You are the creator. That which you hold to be true is true. Therefore, it is well to remain at all times attentive to that which is deepest within you, to that which is truest within you. And as you sense into the eye of you, remember to ask for help in coming even more fully into the presence of the mystery that lies within you. It is as if you are approaching across a vast courtyard, the gateway to your open heart. That courtyard is littered with all of your beliefs and judgments. It is thickly littered with your senses of self, your unworthiness, your dislike of your shadow side, your desire not to show or know your shadow side. And so the journey into full communion with your open heart, with that sun that lies within, consists at first of going about this courtyard, taking up the shadow side, the unworthiness, the thoughts and beliefs which limit your viewpoint. They may seem to be like wild animals when you first take them up, for indeed you have powers within you that are very strong and seem ultimately negative. When they are not developed by the light within you, they may act out as murder, war, jealousy, anger, hatred, guilt, resentment, and all the brothers and sisters of these energies. Yet when you take these wild animals, these fearsome energies, into your arms and love them, that gets their attention. And when you have their attention, then you may speak to them tenderly and affectionately, for you must ask for their help. You must ask them to come into your heart and allow themselves to be redeemed by your sense of their worth and by your honor and respect for these dark energies within you. And when they kneel before you, you take the sword of truth and you dub them your white knights of determination, grit, and patience, so that you may endure all, bear all, persist through all with love. As you gaze out from yourself finally and see the clean courtyard, you know you are ready to meet the lions at the gate of your open heart. Because there are lions there, my friends, who will not allow you into that sacred space, that holy of holies, that sanctum sanctorum, until you are whole. It is not that you become perfect and then enter the open heart. You enter the open heart in all your dirt, just as you are. And yet the secret is to know that you are worthy, just as you are, and give honor to yourself. Even within this illusion in which you seem to be quite unworthy in some ways, this surety and confidence is your strength and your salvation. And the lions then sense your readiness for the light within your open heart and the love that lies waiting to embrace you. The lions bow, the door opens, and you are finally home. What a joy it is to be home in your own open heart, at the center of your creation, where the lion and the lamb lie down together, where peace flows like a mountain, and where all upon which you look as blessed and being blessed blesses you back. So love is reflected in love, so that all that you see is love, so that all you do is love. As you open to this upwelling of love that is infinite and infinitely available, the ever self-sustaining resource of the one infinite creator, you become that which is, I am that I am. And your small ego has melted away before that impersonal self that is at the heart of the personal self. It may seem to you that there are impediments to becoming the I am that I am, of what this instrument would call cosmic consciousness or Christ consciousness. And as long as you feel that there are impediments, so there are. Therefore, as you experience the feeling of being impeded, it is well to rest in that awareness and to collect yourself to bear witness to this awareness and to sit with it as if it were an honored guest. What is it that impedes you this day? What thought has caused you to stop feeling as though you are the one infinite creator in much shadowed form? Sit with this question until it begins to answer itself within you in whatever way it will. Experience to the fullest the energy of that blocked self. Was it impatience? Was it irritation? Was it the feeling of unworthiness? Was it the hesitation that comes from being confused? Whatever that momentary blockage is, first experience it and intensify it, and then allow it to call forth its dynamic opposite. If your stoppage was due to impatience, allow the feeling of patience to come over you, for it will if you focus upon this dynamic. Once you have begun to experience that patience, then encourage it to intensify itself within you and become all of your attention span. And in that wise, you may know true and undistorted patience. Then allow the two dynamics to come together in everyday life into the center of yourself, so that you have balanced this distortion within yourself. It is well indeed if you can practice this on a daily basis, for even within a day, you may lose the memory of your thoughts. And each of your thoughts is a creation. Metaphysically speaking, this is difficult to understand in everyday life, because in the outer world, things and objects are what seem to be real, and thoughts are the lightning bugs and butterflies and moths and all those little beings that fly about. They are beautiful and they are worthy of their own kinds. And yet, should you take them seriously? We say to you, yes, my friends, for in the metaphysical world, thoughts are things. What you think is what you create. The one known as G gave this instrument a story recently from Indian lore. It was the story of two wolves. One wolf was everything that was good, positive, and beautiful. The other wolf was dark, aggressive, violent, and evil. The young man went to his father and said, "What should I do with these wolves? How shall I treat them?" And the father said, "Feed the one you wish to grow and let the other one pass away. Which wolf will you feed in your thoughts?" One great secret spiritual seeking is to remember which wolf to feed. We sense that within this group there are many questions, and so we would ask if there is a follow-up question to this question. They then ask, "Yes, I have a question about the sun cult that has been in earlier times. Do we have any connection to this and to each other through that?" We may say without infringement, Quo says, upon free will, that there are those among you who indeed do have that connection within the history of your planet. However, in general, we would say that your connection to the sun is from your nature, as those who come from another sun and who have chosen to wander this planet together. For each in this room is a portion of wanderers of sixth density who choose in a time very early in the third density cycle of planet Earth to enter into incarnation upon planet Earth. After the first 25,000 year minor cycle of your planetary third density, the confederation of planets in the surface of the one infinite creator became concerned, for the harvest was very small. And so in excitement of heart with great passion and absolute purity of intent, you dedicated yourselves to the travail of Earth, brothers and sisters of sorrow. You responded to the sorrow of Earth, to its cry for light and love. And so you came bravely, daringly, risking all, risking forgetting who you are, in the hope that you could become those who aided in the lightening of the consciousness of planet Earth. My friends, you have been about that business for a very long time, and you have become weary with the labor of Earth. But we say to you to take heart and to know that you have made a difference in a positive sense, and that you shall, as you are activated by such meetings as these, wind up your certainty and courage, that you may go forth ever more firmly seated in the saddle of your great steed of faith, in your armor of light, with your ribbons dancing in the wind from the lance of your truth. You may joust with some unlikely people, mounted on some shabby horses, as you go through the lists of this tournament of service to others. There may be many, many times when the chinks in your armor of light are intensified by the natural resistance of what this instrument calls the loyal opposition. And you may experience difficulties and dark nights. Yet, my friends, is not each dawn a new day? It is indeed, as you awaken on each new day, know that it is a new universe, a new world, and a completely new beginning. Nothing is ever old to those who are awake to love. Everything is new now. each of you is wondering as we listened while you talked around the circle. We heard you say, "What is next? What shall I do now?" My friends, the operant word is now. It is not next, it is now. What you shall do now is what is upon your heart. And if, as far as you know, there is nothing upon your heart except love, then let it be. You are now ready for that which comes next in your illusion. Nor are you responsible in any way for that which comes to you as catalyst. It is not that you draw a good catalyst or poor catalyst or difficult catalyst by some measurement of deserving or merit. Certainly that which you are thinking or doing creates the nexus from which more things come to you. As you think, so you draw things to you. Yet in that moment in which catalyst occurs to you, you are not responsible for that which comes in. The area of your responsibility is to that which is evoked or elicited by the catalyst. Therefore, you as creators are responsible for your responses to catalyst. What shall be your responses to this day, to the thoughts you think, to the people you meet, and to the situations which you address? What is your area of creativity? It is a good thing to focus upon the fact that you are all creative. How can a creator not be creative? Therefore, create your creation consciously and do not be dismayed that the outer world does not seem to reflect your creation. In the world of spirit, in the time-space universe, you are the citizens of eternity. Even while within the world of space-time and incarnation, that which you create is powerful. And as you understand that, you can link up with those who are of like mind. Even at great distances, you can continue to create light. The instrument was speaking earlier in this weekend of being instruments, receivers, and emitters of vibration. And so you are in the unseen realms, and we encourage you to think of yourselves as lighthouses. It is said in your holy work, do not hide your light under a bushel, but place it on a lampstand where all may see it. Do you feel merely like a candle of light in the midst of all the darkness of the outer world? Then my friends, know that a candle can be seen a mile away. Just one candle can be a beacon of light to those far off, those to whom you are a source of light. Know only that they like to be near you. Yet as they absorb the radiation of your love, they themselves are activated to be beacons themselves. And so you pass it on and infect others, who in turn infect others, until the world at last is aflame, unified, harmonious, and complete. Shall this happen before the harvest is complete? We do not know, for it is up to you to be as purely a flame of love as you know how to be. However, look not to the outer things for knowledge of your success. Rather, look to your intentions, your dreams, and your ideals, and create from them ever firmer, ever truer, ever sturdier. These are the measures of the ability to create changes in your consciousness of your planetary sphere. Therefore, the most important work that you can do is done within yourself, for as you heal, strengthen, and arm yourself with love and light, so you change your entire world. Question: regarding ultraviolet and infrared rays of the sun, I understand that some energies from the sun, say gamma rays and x-rays, are harmful. And I understand that UV in some cases is said to be harmful and sometimes not. I feel that there isn't enough information out there about UV and maybe the benefits of it. Is it worthy to accumulate UV into the body? Is there a spiritual, physical, emotional, or mental aspect to that? Can you change the DNA in your genes with this UV or even infrared? We are those of Quo, and we are aware of your query, my sister. There are parts of your query which we cannot answer due to the fact that this is part of your active spiritual process at this time, and it would be a gross infringement of your free will to do your learning for you. We leave you the joy of your exploration in this wise. However, we may respond to your concerns about the need for balancing the self as it receives what you may consider toxic levels of certain vibrations. We would encourage you to investigate the work of the one known as Rudolf Steiner, and especially in his exercises to balance in a dynamic way the body complex. This instrument knows this anthroposophical type of exercise as the Olorono exercise. It is a series of simple movements that anyone can do who can walk. This instrument, being a fragile body, can still do these exercises, and so can most upon your planet. They are a simple series of exercises which you are creating for yourself more of a 360-degree vision and more of a complete balance of the body, and therefore of body, mind, and spirit. In the process of doing these exercises daily, you shall find that whatever is in excess within your body complex is released, and whatever is deficient in your body complex is restored. This entity, the one known as Rudolf Steiner, was very clear in many ways about this particular concern, although you will find that you must gaze at that which he said with an eye to the heart of what he was manifesting in his writing, as opposed to the literal meaning of words. We leave you the joy of this exploration. You spoke about DNA in terms of spiritual principles. We say to you that DNA for third density is as it is, and yet you may change your DNA, as some of you are quite sure and aware of at this time, by the way you think and by the way you manifest your thoughts, so that you bring forth into third density higher densities of awareness. Those of you who wish to live into fourth density positive upon this planet, which shall soon completely be descended, not only interpenetrating third density but taking over third density completely, may live as though you were in fourth density now. It's as simple, as nearly impossible as that. But you can penetrate that mystery of love. You can change your DNA so that you create 4, then 8, and then 12, and then up to 24 spirals of DNA. And eventually, as you do create the differences in every cell of your body, you shall more and more walk this universe freely. In a session in 2019, they asked, quote, many of us are in the ascension journey are quite sensitive to solar activity and electromagnetic storms. It appears that the 11-year solar cycle for solar minimum to maximum have a very strong impact on the planetary ascension. Can you speak to that? Quo says, I am Quo and am aware of your query, my brother. Indeed, the entity which is your local sub-logos, the sun body that provides the life-giving rays of its own beingness, is an entity which is inhabited by those of higher densities, which are utilizing the opportunity to produce that you would see as solar flares, or energies that are a product of their own contact with intelligent infinity, so that this energy of the sun and of the higher density entities residing therein comes in a cyclical fashion, providing greater opportunities at some points within the evolutionary cycles of both the sun body itself and your earth sphere itself. There is also to be considered the in-streaming of energies from beyond your solar system, so that in conjunction with the cycles of flares upon the sun body, there are the cosmic in-streamings of the fourth density vibrations that are likened unto rhythms of a musical instrument, or a number of musical instruments that play a certain melody that can be apprehended by entities within the third density environment of your Mother Earth that have the requisite sensitivities within their own being to recognize and resonate with these combinations of the solar flares as cosmic in-streamings. There are a portion of the process of your planet's movement into the fourth density of love and understanding, as entities upon your third density sphere are able to harmonize their beings with these cosmic and solar energies. They also emanate from themselves a similar type of energy that may be apprehended by those in their presence, and indeed beyond their presence. Each entity upon the planetary sphere that is resonating with the solar and cosmic in-streamings is thus able to act itself as a beacon of light that emanates these step-down frequencies that represent the love, the light, and the unity of the one infinite creator that resides within each entity, and is activated by these energies and reflects and promotes and processes these energies to those about the entity that is receiving them and broadcasting them. They then ask, some people seem to be far more sensitive to these in-streamings. What is the reason for that? Quo says, the sensitivity to these solar and cosmic in-streamings of energies is a result of the process of the, as you would say, rising of the Kundalini within such entities expressing this sensitivity. For those who have moved through the Green Ray Energy Center, there is the beginning sensitivity to such energies. As the Kundalini energy moves higher into the Blue Ray Energy Center, this sensitivity is once again enhanced. As the energies move yet higher into the Indigo Ray, these energies are at their peak level of expression, so that at this level there is the ability to create changes in consciousness at will. There is, however, the necessity for the blending of all those lower energy centers in a fashion that is processed and produced by the violet ray energy center. Thus, it is well for such entities who are expressing the sensitivities of the green, blue, and indigo energy centers to give constant attention to the clearing of any catalytic obstructions that may find a way temporarily into any of the lower energy centers. Thusly, the entity that is sensitive to these energies will do well to engage in a daily program of examining the life experience so there is a smooth flow of the prana, or love light of the one creator, through each energy center ending at the indigo. And in a session on 2008, they asked a question that said, I saw an interesting DVD called The Solar Empire. This splendid film discusses sunspots and solar flares. As I recall, these solar phenomena may influence all the planets in the solar system on a physical level. May we ask Quo if there is a metaphysical meaning regarding the various phenomena of our sun, like solar flares and sunspots? Quo says that your sun body is a sublogos, a manifester and center of light and love, which it pours out upon all indiscriminately, generously, and with great love. As you are perhaps aware, the actions of each of you do not go unnoticed in the universe. The creation of the Father is one, and the universe balances itself endlessly with regard to each and every one of its infinite bits and pieces of creatorhood, which are making the long circular journey from Alpha to Omega and entering into Alpha once again. The situation of your people upon Gaia, or the entity you call planet Earth, is one which has been maturing and ripening throughout your last several thousands of years as cycle after cycle of empire has risen and been brought to dust, only to spawn another empire with aggressive and hostile feelings and emotions buttressing the point of view that conquers and controls. These cycles of empire have not lessened as this last major cycle has progressed, but rather there has been a stoppage of the willingness of those upon your sphere to entertain what this instrument would call a new paradigm. We do not speak here of all those upon your planet, but rather we speak in terms of those whose hands have been greedy for power. Due to the natural tendency of those upon a certain path to incarnate in bunches, shall we say, you have before you now a large group of entities who have worked together, always fighting for position, but bearing enough amity towards each other to conspire to control the population of your planet and to bend all things to their will. They have done this before. These entities have been faces at the banquet in Babylon, in Rome, in the Holy Roman Empire, in the Third Reich, and now. There are other cycles of service to self entities in other cultures, and those who rode with Genghis Khan ride now with your eastern countries such as China, Korea, Japan, India, and Pakistan, Israel, and Syria. The list can go on. This phenomenon where entities who love power and who love control are seeking, whether consciously or unconsciously, to graduate in the service to self-polarity are in charge has mandated an acceleration of heat of a metaphysical type. And this heat winds itself down into Earth, not so much in the physical Earth, but in the energy body of the Earth, shall we say, causing the Earth to seek ever more diligently to balance itself. This has its effect not only upon the planet, but also upon the sun, which streams its light to bless the planet. You may see these increased and severe solar flares and other sun phenomena as the sun's innocent and necessary balancing of its energy field in order that the highest and best possible outcome may be preserved for each and every entity upon planet Earth. It is not an angry sun that is smiting those who have done wrongly. It is simply a living being which, in order to be in balance, must express the products of imbalance, so that balance may be regained. There is no question, my friends, but that you personally, all by yourself, can make a difference in this situation insofar as you have the ability to cease the war within you. More light is allowed into your environment, and planet Earth feels that lightening of consciousness and is deeply grateful. She is, in fact, most grateful each day as your group offers the Gaia meditation and hopes for peace on Earth and peace in the hearts of humankind. Therefore, we would say to the one known as T that there is not a metaphysical message per se in the increased solar flares, any more than there is a message in the increased incidence of extreme weather which you are experiencing at this time. It is a benign and necessary means of adjusting and balancing the energy body of the planet and the energy body of the solar system. Imagine what would happen with your own vehicle if one of your organs was amiss. Say, perhaps, that your lungs were heavily damaged and you were having difficulty breathing. This would impact your ability to think, your heart function, and many other functions of the body which depend upon the steady intake of oxygen. Thusly, these are symptoms of a metaphysical illness which we might describe as a fever which has overtaken humankind. We would simply ask each of you to do what you can to reduce the fever of your own life, your own thoughts, and your own heart, and to turn always with utter faith and confidence to the holy sanctuary within your heart, where the Creator is to be found in good weather or poor, metaphysically speaking or physically speaking. So that is just a brief discussion of the sun as it's discussed in the Law of One Material and in Quo. And I find that super fascinating. It is a wonderful idea to know that when you walk outside during the day, that God is right there shining on everything. Everything is God. So when I say everything is God, that means the sun is God and the earth is God. All things are God. There's some wonderful passages in here where they ask one question, you're starting to get another, and they were very inspiring about cleaning out the courtyard of your heart and becoming your own sun in the process of that. So I hope this inspired you and helped you to understand this concept and how exciting it is that the galaxy is also a logos and that the sun is just a sub-logos of the galaxy and that there are groupings of galaxies that are a logos. And it just keeps on going up sort of hierarchically, but at the same time, they're all levels of the one infinite creator, all working with free will in separate paradigms of consciousness. And it's an exciting idea to think that solar flares are produced by other beings that are on the sun, or that solar flares are an eruption because of the imbalance of energies in our planet and the solar system itself. It makes you wonder if the sun is sort of a reflection of the energies we have going on in the earth and it starts to become eruptive. It's related to that. I've also heard that in relation to earthquakes and storms. Everything around you is a response to you and what's happening within you. And what you see around you with all the people around you is a response to you. That is the truth of the Law of One. We are all one. That's why the information about the mirror reality from Transurfing and the information that Everybody Is You pushed out from Neville Goddard is the same information as the Law of One. The sun is us, and that we are a part of something even bigger. It goes on and on. And if you touch that part of you, there's a deep part of you that knows all of this. And I would love to get your comments and feelings about this particular subject. We are all sub-sub-logi of the sub-logos of the logos. In any case, all episodes of The Reality Revolution can be found at therealityrevolution.com. And welcome to The Reality Revolution.